series of how the Lord tries to steal you, or how the devil tries to steal the calling and the destiny on your life. And we're walking through some ways that he does that, and so that he comes against us. And so I'll do some review. But it all comes back to Genesis 1:27. This is the first chapter where Adam was created. The woman wasn't even created yet. So God created man in his own image. I'm just reading this. You can follow along if you want to. Genesis 1:27 and then parts of 1:28. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, I've often said, well, how are we made in the image of God? He's three parts, we're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. But I heard a Hebrew scholar that's an academic talk on this week that gave an insight that was really cool. I'd never heard before. He said that Hebrew right here is not exactly the way we've seen it, created in the image of God. To make it short, he says we were created to reflect the image of God. You were created to mirror who He is, what He is, what He does, and what He's about in the earth. Let's just pause here because we're in no hurry to get through this series. Let's just pause here for a second. You realize Eden was, it calls it the Garden of God. I'm digressing a little bit, but it's a good digression. See, there's heaven with God and His spiritual family all around Him. All kinds of beings. We've heard about angels. We've heard about the seraphim and the cherubim. We've heard about the creatures, four different creatures. All these, but people that have, if you go into it and you talk to people that are seers, there is much spiritual beings, other spiritual creatures, as there is here on earth. God the Father loves family. He loves hanging out with people. He loves relationships. He is a relational God. One of His base characteristics is love. And He had His spiritual beings, spiritual family. And this is Craig. He said, it's time for an earthly beings and earthly family. That's you and me, and then all of the creatures too. But He put us at the top of the hierarchy, because it goes on, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So what He has heaven, His principles and what He looks like is reverberated throughout the spiritual heavens and the spiritual beings. He said, well, let's do something different. Let's create a whole different species, you and I, earthly beings, and you are to reflect His image in this family across the earth. See, it was His garden He put you in and said, this is what I look like. This is the pattern for Eden for the entire earth. See, man didn't make Eden, and man didn't set up Eden, and man didn't come up with a pattern. He put you and me, He put Linda and Teresa and Spice over here and Josh in it, obviously not us, but metaphorically, in it, and did this thing just die? Well, good, okay. In it, and said, how this looks, make the rest of the earth look like this image, which you're reflecting from heaven. Think about that. You ever heard it explained that way? Maybe. We've talked about it a lot here. See, most people sometimes may think that the whole earth looked like Eden. It didn't. It was just a small part. If you go on and read the first three chapters of Genesis, it tells you exactly where it is between these four rivers. Two of them are still around. Archaeologists have found through LIDAR mapping and radars, the other two where they think it is. But we basically know where it is, basically where Iraq is, Babylon. But it was His garden. It was a connection point between the two families of Him, the spiritual family, and the earthly family. That's pretty cool. They could freely go back and forth between the different families. And he says, I am such a God. I love relationships. I'm an extrovert and an introvert. But I'm an extrovert. I love people. And I want to hang out with a whole other family too. And these families know each other. And that's what the Garden of Eden was. And our our job was to reflect the image of who he was to the people around us and spread it to the whole world. And what he meant here by being multiply, fruitful, wasn't just to stay in that garden, was to take the pattern of that garden with his strength, with his power, with his creativity. Why? Where does this come from? Because you reflect his image to the rest of the earth. Pretty simple. I think you've heard versions of this, if not exactly. So today, that mandate has not changed. There is no plan B for God. Plan A, we blew it because we said we want to reflect our image. We decide what we reflect. We decide how we walk. We decide our own lives. And he said, I will let you do that. Let's pause on that for a minute. He says, I will let you do that. Why? Because I love you enough to give you free will. Now, this drives a lot of people crazy. If God was a good God, why is there rape and murder and theft in the world? I mean, you hear that a lot. It's because he gave us free will. If we're created in his image, God has free will. God can decide which way to go, and he loves you enough to let you do it. Because if he didn't, if he made you do stuff, then it wouldn't really be a family. It'd be a bunch of servants acting like robots. So that's the two-edged sword. And people, you know, it's usually people trying to run away from God, run away from Christianity. If God was so good, why is there so much evil in the world? What I do is I say, you know, God could take care of all the evil in the world, but you would be gone too. We'd all be gone. Maybe I haven't committed murder, but I've lied. Maybe I hadn't committed murder, but I've stolen stuff. Maybe not from a bank. Maybe it was some, you know, when I was a kid or something from work or whatever. You get my point. I've had lust. It wasn't always thoughts of love. It's either all of it or none of it. And so he set the world up to voluntarily reflect his image and be a part of him. Now, this is Craig's opinion, okay? It's very clear there was a battle in the spiritual family in heaven between Lucifer, which evidently was one of the top three angels in heaven. He decided, I don't want to be a part of this spiritual family anymore. I want to do my own thing. You all know this story. Maybe you hadn't heard it explained this way. So he broke away from the spiritual family and left. Caused a rebellion there. I personally believe there's really no biblical basis for it. But if you look at some Old Testament writing, some writings from the Old Testament period, from the Hebrew time, I think as soon as he rebelled, it happened at the same time when he came to earth. It makes sense. And said, well, let me see if I can get some of this earthly family, which is our great-great-great-grandparents, to do it with me. And it worked. You might have read the story of there was a serpent, and it came and talked to him. We're not talking about real serpents here. Maybe he disguised himself as a serpent. I typically don't think so. Maybe he did. It doesn't matter. It's not about biology. It's not about a real snake. It's about a spiritual being coming to say, will you join my rebellion against God? And we did. And so we've been fighting that battle ever since. And I know each one of your hearts is to be an imager of God, is to reflect his image and restore into his family. We talk about how to hear his voice and what spiritual families talk about. And there's just a lot there because we've gone so far from the pattern of Eden. I mean, I like my house, but I don't think it looks anything like Eden would if we just stuck to the course, okay? And but it may be get there closer, who knows, as time goes along. And so there's just been battle of the devil ever since whispering to you, do your own thing, it always works out better. And then God goes along, you can say you can do your own thing, but if you'll follow my thing and reflect what I'm doing, it always leads to prosperity and order. If you reflect, if you do your own thing, it always leads to some form of poverty. And I'm not talking about money, although that could be a part of it, but it also puts your life in chaos. Wherever your life is in chaos, maybe not all of it, some of it's prosperous and orderly, others may be poverty. And what I mean by poverty is where things are not where they're supposed to be if we were fully following God. Okay, it could be emotional poverty, depression, discouragement, anxiety. It could be physical poverty, sickness, diseases. It could be spiritual poverty. It means we don't even hear God's voice and don't go after Him. And we're actively going after the things of the occult or tarot readings. You see McDonald's now this week. You can, it's not here, but it might roll out. Go to certain parts of the country and you the kids' meals. You throw in a thing, and then you could possibly win free tarot card readings. We have gone far away from the things of God. But I'm here to tell you, all of you wouldn't be here if you didn't want the things of God and learn how to be a reflection of Him. And it all starts with this. Father, I say yes. Whatever you desire for my life, I say yes. I'm going after it. Say it with a capital Y, capital E, capital S. I'm going to follow hard after you. Because sometimes He's going to lead you in directions that does not make sense with your mind. And that's okay because your mind hasn't been there yet. That's why it's good to read the Bible, get prophetic words over you. Sometimes He'll give you dreams in the night. He may even give you visions. Because what He's trying to do is jumpstart your brain out of the rut that it's in. And what it knows. Years ago, I've been on many missions trips. I was going on a missions trip with a group of people, and it was just an interesting missions trip. This person, I've been on, I don't know how many missions trips, 35 trips overseas. Okay, that's a lot of trips overseas. Okay, well, this group I was going with, I'd never met them before because I was coming with two other, and this is to illustrate how we are with God many times. I had never met them before. We were joining up. We were running late. At the pace we were going, we were not going to get through the airport and make the gate. We just weren't going to do it. I mean, when you've been trips over 30, I've probably been on 160 flights. I mean, so I'm not just randomly saying this stuff. And so I turned to these people. I said, we're going to miss this plane. No, we're not. I said, yes, we are. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm leaving you guys because I want to make this plane. And they got mad and I got all huffy. And then finally, there was one person in the group was halfway smart, said, I'm following you. I said, follow me. And so me and a few other people finally made the plane. Okay. The other ones were so far behind, they called ahead, they held the plane for them. Well, they got on the plane, they still were not humble. And they turned to me and said, how come you get to decide what you want to do? I said, I didn't decide nothing. I said, this is what I'm deciding to do, and I've been on enough flights. So this is my point. I found out later they had never even been to Atlanta, and they lived in this region, and they were adults. Never been overseas, never outside of Northwest Georgia, trying to tell me, who's been on five continents, how to fly. Okay, so that doesn't matter the story. This is the point. I do the same thing with God. I've never been in the future. I've never seen where He wants to take me. I've never seen the prosperity He wants to bring me. And then I argue with Him how to get there. Isn't that the truth? Well, God, I don't know if that's going to work out. As if God doesn't know how to get me there. If God doesn't know what it's going to take to get there. Let me give you a clue. God does not live, His primary residence, He lives in Dalton, but this is not His primary residence. He lives all over the earth. And he lives in heaven at a vantage point that's different than ours. And so it starts with yes and humility. Okay, maybe I haven't seen everything, even as smart as I am. I'm being sarcastic, but don't we all think that? At least me and maybe nobody else. But we at least think that way. And so when you say yes and humility, his goal is to get you to prosperity. I love this verse in Ephesians 4:28. Let me define prosperity with this verse, Ephesians 4:28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must go to work, doing something useful with his own hands. Now, this is the passage. That he may have something to share with those in need. God is not promising you $1 million. Maybe it happens. I don't know. It might be your future. But he is promising you, I can get you to a place financially where you can take care of your own, led by him and those around you. Let me tell you, if he gives you $1 million, that's great. He wants to give you $1 million. But it says, to him who has been given much, much is required. There's going to be more people you're going to have to help in need in whatever way he leads you. It may just start a business so you can employ 10 families. And you take care of those 10 families that way. Prosperity is also this. I'm not tormented by thoughts in my soul and memories. That can take time, but he wants to get you to the place where you're reflecting more of him and his image around you. It does take time, re-changing things up, but he wants to do that because you're part of his family. Those of you that have kids or want to have kids or seen kids, which should be everybody, you want those kids to be better off than you. And God, you can't be better off than God, but God wants to prosper you. Spirit, soul, and body. And it starts with going, yes, and humility. Just stop arguing with God. It's amazing. Take it from me. Every time I've argued with God and go, I never exactly use these words, like that's a bad idea. But we've all thought of it, haven't we? Or I don't want to go there. I guess I'm the only one. When those thoughts come, just realize, just give up. This is what I found, is God, at least for me, doesn't change his mind. All right, do it your own way. It's free will. You can reflect whatever image you want. And we love reflecting our own image, don't we? And so we'll go on in life. A year later, my life is even worse in that one area. It may be blessed in other areas. He will bless whatever areas line up with what he's telling you. If you're doing what he wants you to do in your marriage, it's going to be blessed. But if it's not, but you're not doing it in your finances, he can't bless it. He can only bless what you have rightly aligned with his image. It's pretty basic, isn't it? But it's so true. So if you're walking with people and their lives are messed up, your life is messed up, in some area you go, Father, what part of the image, and this is where the Bible, we have to know the Bible and get good counseling. What part of the image doesn't line up with your image? And then when you get that, and you usually sort of know because it's chaos. If there's chaos in your life, in your family, in your work, God's never that way. How do I know? Because it says in Genesis 1, it was before the earth was formed, it was dark and void, and he put it in order. Everything, when we follow God, he puts it in order. The problem is sometimes it's sort of like a Lego toy, your life. If you've built this big old extension with Legos off of your life in some area, and it's you've done it, your wisdom, or you might have even had a right heart, but it wasn't the way God wanted to do it. What do you have to do to get that Lego toy to look like it's supposed to look like? You got to tear that part off. Well, my gosh, you're going, I have spent a lot of time on this Lego toy. I have spent a lot of time doing it this way. I don't want to tear it off. I got 10 years into this Lego toy. I know I'm being basic today, but hopefully you can take this to the Lord. So, a year later, you haven't torn off this Lego toy because you got 10 years invested in it. Guess what? It's still there, and it's still chaotic. I'm telling you, just quickly get the hammer. or the chisel, or both. You might need both if it's been there 10 years. You put the chisel, hammer it, and go, Father, this is painful. It's cutting off a part of me, and you know what it is. It's a part you have built, you have invested, you have put emotions in, you have maybe put physical stuff in, depending on what it is. I'm telling you, when God shows you that this was not built the way He wanted it to do, it's going in a different direction, cut it off, because a year later, when you go back to Him, and you're even more tired than you were the year before, you know what He's going to say? The exact same thing He told you a year before. Cut it off. He's not mean. He's not going to do a transformer on you for it. You know, that thing just magically start becoming something else. Like, no, cut it off. That's what the Bible means about pruning. And He says, I prune. And so you go, this is painful. He goes, I know it's painful, but pruning is pruning a bush or flowers. I guarantee you, you're going to look so much better after I prune this thing off. It's going to be a weight that's not there. Yeah, it's going to hurt for an hour, a day, or a month. I don't know how long. Depends on how much time you got invested. And if that Lego toy is connected to other people's Lego toys, they're going to get mad at you, and they're going to scream and holler at you. But just cut it off. I heard this great counseling. I'm about to give you a joke. I heard this great counseling instructions. It was a couple of weeks ago. I actually videotaped this 3-minute. I didn't videotape. I sent this 3-minute YouTube to the leaders on Bob Newhart. How many of you are old enough to remember Bob Newhart show? If you raise your hand, you're probably over 50. Unless you went back and watched the reruns. Hilarious show. Great comedian from probably 50 years ago. Bob Newhart. Anyway, it shows Bob Newhart. There were all these little skits that he would do. It wasn't like a sitcom. And so a lady came in. He was pretending to be the counselor. Now, I'm not advocating this, but the principle fits in with the Lego toy, okay? The lady came in, young lady, for counseling. And she starts to pay him $125 or whatever it was for the counseling. He goes, no, this is only going to be 3 minutes. I'm charging you a dollar a minute. 3 minutes? Okay. Whatever. Yeah, maybe it was. So, yeah, I think it was 5 minutes. You're right, because he ended up doing it in three. Come in, this is going to be 5 minutes. 5 minutes? He goes, yeah, all your problems are going to be stopped in 5 minutes. So she comes in. It doesn't matter. You can go Google it and or YouTube it. She gives him his problems. She starts telling him problems. He goes, no, that's all I need to know. She goes, that's all I need to know. Well, what about my mom? What about this? What about how I was raised? He goes, no, that's all I need to know. And he said, get ready. I'm giving you your advice in two words. She said, I'm ready. She said, should I get out a piece of paper? He says, no, I think you can remember the two words. And he says, the two words, and then he yells it and scares the girl to death. Stop it! She goes, no, you don't understand how I was raised. No, stop it. And this is the whole skit that goes on. And finally, after 3 minutes, he goes, I'm done. It's time to leave. And she goes, well, I got another problem. So she and you said 5 minutes. I got 2 minutes. So she then shares her next problem. And he goes at the end, guess what he says? Stop it. Now, I know there's so much more, and I'm not oversimplifying it. But sometimes I know in my own life, God is wanting to yell at me. Craig Cooper, just stop it. And I know it's hard and I know it's painful, and some things do require encouragement. Some things do require a plan. Some things do require encouragement and counseling. But realize as you're walking through this, He's not doing this. You will not die. If you want to, turn over to Hebrews 12. I don't know when I started, but it's probably getting close to the end. I'm just having a good time sharing. Are y'all having a good time listening? If not, then just stop it and just do something else. You have free will. You can go out the door. Just don't. If you've already put your tithe in, don't take it. We don't give money back on sermons. No refunds. You need to wait till after the sermon before you give and just see, you know, I'm kidding. Hebrews 12:4. I love this because we think God's going to kill us. I'm telling you, He will not kill you. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. The next verse. I don't have the verses on here. But your struggles have... I tell you what, let me read it out of my version. You struggle against sin, but your struggles haven't killed you. You have forgotten the encouraging words that God speaks to you as His children. When He comes to you and goes, you know, I'm going to love you. You're still going to heaven. But this chaotic part in your life, if you just do this, it'll become orderly. I don't know about you, but I am a very slow learner. I'm trying to listen and obey God at least on the third time. First time's preferable, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's at least the second or third time. My goal is first. I love this next verse. My child, pay attention when the Lord disciplines you. Don't give up when He corrects you. The Lord disciplines everyone He loves. Now, when I got into the charismatic movement from the denominational movement, I was told nothing, everything bad that happens to you is from the devil. That is a true statement. The problem is, I often call God's discipline bad. How many times has God told you, well, I want you to clean this up and you can align with me and your image, and you go, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Because you're thinking it was bad and from the God. For those of you that have kids, you all discipline them at some level, from a lot to a little. But there's always some discipline. Okay? If not, your life is going to be really chaotic when they get about middle school age, and you're going to wish you had. But I have not seen that. We're good. He severely disciplines everyone He accepts as a child. Endure your discipline. God corrects you as a father corrects his children. All children are disciplined by their fathers. So as when things happen in your life, you have to go, where is it coming from? If it is bad, I mean, sickness is bad. Depression is bad. Those aren't from God. Discouragement is bad. Bad circumstances. But when a thing comes up, when you've been listening to God and a voice comes up on the inside and goes, I want you to take this path, that is God speaking to you, showing you right alignment so that you eventually, your place, your world, whatever area He's talking about, your emotions, your marriage, your parenting, can start looking like a little Garden of Eden as much as it can, and it can on the earth. He's wanting to realign you so that order and prosperity comes in. That is not the devil. That's the Lord going, you have followed this image that is not me for so long. And I'm trying to give you a new image. We are so far. We're at least 6,000 years from the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden was the model. We didn't have the privilege of living there, but we do have the privilege of the Holy Spirit living inside of us in the Bible that comes along, and He just takes one area at a time, takes the rest of your life to start making more and more of your life a Garden of Eden. It takes one little life, one little area, and He goes, you see it in the Word, or you hear it in a message, or He speaks to you one-on-one, or whatever. And He goes, I can get you there. But you're going to have to stay close to me. You're going to have to say yes, and you're going to have to walk in humility. Because I can outlast you. And I will outlast you. Why? Because I'm not even in time. I often think, well, I'm just going to ignore that, and He'll come back later with another suggestion I like better. He just goes back to heaven where there's no time. We're going along. I mean, He's walking with us. He's omnipresent. But you're going along and come back a year later expecting, you know, another suggestion. He goes, I remember the last one. Why can you remember that? That was a year ago. Don't we act that way? We think He forgets about it. No, I'm telling you, when that sperm and that egg came together in the womb, He put in you, there was physical DNA, but He also put spiritual DNA in you. It's very clear in Ephesians 2:10. He says, I prepared beforehand, talking about before that spirit, the egg and the sperm came together, good works for you to walk in. Your image is not changed. There is no plan B. Plan A is, reflect my image of what heaven looks like in this garden all across the earth. What's really gotten messed up, yeah, Plan A's taken a little while. But he's not giving up on plan A. He's not giving up on you. And as we talked about last week, and as we close, I just want to reiterate. One of the things that come in that the devil throws at you to get you to stop saying yes, walking in humility, following his voice, is you go, it's hopeless. Man, how many times have I followed God? Sometimes it could take years. My life's pretty good, but I'm trying to affect my family. I'm trying to affect whatever area the Lord's given me. And it's like, this is never going to happen. This is hopeless. Maybe something you're personally fighting. You know, you're getting better at it. A sin that besets you. It's less than what it was, but it's still there. I'm here to tell you, you keep listening to the image, which is Jesus' voice, the Father's voice. You keep following the plan. The image and plan's the same thing in many ways. You start, keep doing that. Nothing is hopeless. Well, why does it take so long? I don't know. Varies each time. If you're believing for a family member to get saved, or a spouse to just halfway be a good parent, or a good husband, or a good wife, see, they have free will too. Right? God's not going to force them. Now, he's convicting them, he's bringing them, and you keep doing your part, and he'll keep doing his part. Don't give up hope. Maybe you need to take a rest, but you just go off, get in God's presence. That's where you're filled up. Because I'm telling you, if he's shown you the path to go, shown you what Lego toy part to cut off, what Lego toy to start putting back together, he will finish this thing. But don't let the devil, who messed up the image and talked us into following our own image, come along and go, it's never going to happen. It's not going to work. It's foolish. You've been doing this for 10 years or 10 days or 10 hours. You don't give up, he will do it. Hopelessness is one of the major tactics of the devil. It doesn't matter the time. The Lord, unless he gave you a specific time, which is very, very rare, you don't know when he's going to, that image, is that what needs to happen is going to happen. But it will happen. And usually I found the longer it takes, you are doing major, this is spiritual warfare, you are doing major spiritual warfare of realigning what the image is to what it's supposed to look like with God. But that's how you bring the Garden of Eden into your world today. Amen.